Hey, welcome to another episode of The Breakdown. We're excited to be back. We started a new series this Sunday.
Yep.
So I'm pumped about this series. Kind of wanted to start out the podcast since the topic was gossip. I don't want to ask too many questions about gossip. We don't want to gossip on this podcast.
Right. Anti-gossip on this podcast.
Yeah. So what I wanted to do was kind of talk about this series because I think it's a particularly good one, especially for the time in which we live in. A lot of people experience church hurt, but kind of share with us what your plan is for this series.
Well, my heart in this, and I feel like the Lord was leading me in this because we have so much conversation, as you just kind of referenced today, about deconstruction. And we have a lot of people that are, you know, quote unquote, deconstructing their faith because of the hurt and or things they were taught as a part of their Christian upbringing and how that affected them. And it's making them examine their faith, which I've long said that's a good thing. It's actually a good thing to ask questions about your faith and to fully understand it. It's not a good thing to totally divorce yourself from the church because you had a bad experience in a church or even multiple churches because, you know, kind of foundationally in this series, we began by talking about, look, you put a group of people together and you have a group of sinners. And a group of sinners are going to do sinful things. They're not always going to get it right. The church is not Jesus. Jesus is Jesus, right? And people have been wounded by people who profess to be Christians not living that out very well. And again, even people that are like, you know, you'd say, well, they're good Christian people, but they screwed some stuff up.
Yeah.
Just like those people that are deconstructing do and did. Right? None of the people that are deconstructing were perfect people. None of them are perfect Christians.
Yeah, they wouldn't be just deconstructing. Right.
So, I mean, it's just funny to me that the standard is, well, everybody who's ever been a part of my faith journey had to have done that nearly perfectly, or I need to throw my whole deal out.
Yeah.
How does that make any sense? Right? So this whole series is really about us moving past some of those areas where, yes, you've been hurt. Yes, that is legitimate. Church hurt is real. When people have wounded you, that's not cool. We want to deal with that openly and honestly. And we do want to see generational change happen. And I talked about this a lot Sunday.
Yeah.
We want to be better Christians. We want to be people who better reflect Christ because we don't want these wounding issues to continue to be prevalent in the church.
Yeah.
I'm not dismissing the fact that people have been wounded. I am calling into question you throwing the baby out with the bathwater. That's a problem for me, right? Let's deal with it. Let's deal with the bathwater, right? Let's get it right, right temperature, clean, all this. Let's fix it, but let's not think we got to be done with it. So anyway, that gets me kind of fired up, man. Sorry.
That's, no, that's what question. We want to do with the beginning of the podcast.
Question. Yeah.
So this week we looked at the particular topic of gossip and how gossip affects people, how even people within the church struggle with this, with the sin of gossip. I mean, let's call it what it is. It's sin.
Yeah.
And I think for majority of people, and when I was thinking this through, is oftentimes we don't call it a sin. We just call it, and we're just talking, or I'm trying to help my brother out by, you know, sharing all their issues with someone else.
I'm just giving prayer requests, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a prayer request.
But those things really do affect people and cause church hurt and cause people to stray away and stumble. And sometimes it's hard to get them back because of that previous experience. So
it's like I said, you know, people expect gossip. They just expect gossip to happen out in the world. Like that's a no-brainer for everybody. Nobody expects to go through life without gossip being like a part of their life. It's that the expectation should be that Christians are not participating in that, that they're above that. Not because they're perfect, but because they're trying to hold themselves to a higher standard, a standard that loves their brother and sister, a standard that says, you know, I put the feelings of other people above my own. And when we don't do that, then we're just like everybody else. What's exceptional about that? What makes that stand out? Or, you know, thing we talk about as a big church word all the time, what makes that winsome, you know, inviting? So,
nothing.
Right.
Right. So let's get to your points. We'll talk about them and kind of take a deeper dive into them. So
Cool. Your
first point was, be careful how and when you judge others. This is from James 3. And your text was James 3:1-18, and this is verses 1 and 2. It says, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Let's talk about what you meant by be careful how and when you judge others, because you just preached on how to judge others.
That's right. We're allowed to judge others, Nick. Yeah. You already said that. Yeah, that's true. But be careful how you do that. Be careful how you handle that responsibility. And don't forget, the same measure that you judge with is going to be judged on you. You know, at the heart of this, it's what is your, we talked about this in that message of, you know, what's your purpose? What's your goal? And when you are trying to, when you end up judging other people like this, when you end up talking badly about other people, you're making a judgment based on something you think they did, they shouldn't have done, they didn't do right, whatever it was, either in your mindset or maybe they legitimately did something wrong. But it isn't your position to stand in judgment over them in such a way that would run them down in front of other people. Sure, you can judge they didn't do something correct or didn't do something in keeping with the Word of God.
Yeah.
But there's not any place for that then to become a topic of conversation amongst you and other people for your kind of mutual enjoyment. That's never a place, right? The judgment has to be handled correctly and carefully because it's about the why, how am I doing it, what am I doing with it, and like I say, keeping in mind that, you know, you'll be judged with the same standard. And you wouldn't want anybody doing that to you.
Yeah.
You know, it talks there about how we're leaders are held to a higher responsibility, but it doesn't let anybody off the hook because all Christians are leaders. We just have different levels of responsibility. And so, you know, when you're keeping in mind, and we talk about this later in this message, when you're keeping in mind that everybody has the potential to be a part of your family, your Christian family, man, what are you doing talking bad about your family? You don't want anybody doing that to your family.
No, and he even says, and James says, we all stumble in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
I think with gossip, you were talking about the sin is when we put that middle step in there rather than if somebody has wronged you or has an issue and you're judging that issue, why not just go straight to that person instead of formulating these unnecessary conversations to, I don't know, get advice but not really get advice to make yourself look better, like you said in your sermon, to make you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just go to that person and have that conversation with them and draw them back? If repentance needs to happen, then let it happen.
Mm.
And everything is fine. And then there's no hurt, and then there's no gossip in it, in any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's hard for us to do that, and it goes with your second point of the words from our mouth have significant power. And James continues on, and he says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell.
Mm-hmm.
The tongue is a small tool, but it is something that is very hard to control.
Right.
My kindergarten teacher gave me the best advice.
Hmm.
And I think she saw this in me at a young age where she told me, whatever comes to your brain doesn't have to come out your mouth.
Hmm.
Keep those things to yourself.
Good
because
advice.
I wanted to pinpoint, the sin of other people or issues within other people, and I wanted to vocalize that and make it known to the world around me. Mm-hmm. And it got me in a lot of trouble. And I think as Christians, that is something hard to control.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have to do that. We're not called to do that alone. We're not supposed to do that under our own power. It's through the power of Christ that we can control our mouths.
Yeah. I think you said it,
I do love the example you gave with the barnacles.
Yeah.
You started talking about barnacles, and at first I was like, what in the world
is
a barnacle?
Coming up, yeah.
And so I Googled it real quick.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And, such a small thing.
Right.
Explain that analogy again, because
I think
it's
worth
saying.
Talking about how the Navy spends $500 million a year on keeping barnacles off ships because the buildup of the barnacle when it attaches, and then it basically, you know, they multiply. And so as the barnacles grow on the side of a ship, it slows down the efficiency, it costs more for fuel, all these kinds of things. Up to 40% it can slow down, like a Navy ship.
Yeah.
So, and if it's a wooden ship, they can actually destroy the wood. They destroy the hull. So it's one of the reasons, like if you have a boat floating out in a harbor, you know, if you leave it there forever, it's not going to keep floating.
Yeah.
It will eventually, those barnacles will build up and destroy the wood, and it's done for. And so, you know, they spend a lot of money to keep the, you know, bring ships into shipyards, clean them up, because the efficiency on them is so much better when you keep those barnacles off. Well, so too with the church, that if we allow the barnacle that is gossip, right, to affect us and affect the capital C church, it slows down the proclamation of the gospel. And, you know,
because how do we proclaim the gospel?
Yeah,
it's with our mouths.
Absolutely.
It's with our tongue. It's
you know, James is going to talk about that, right? The whole fresh water. And I think that's maybe right there in those verses. I can't remember. But the fresh water, salt water thing that we would praise out of one side of our mouth and then run other people down.
Yeah.
You know, that just doesn't, it just doesn't make any sense that that's the way we approach our relationships. We got to be better than that.
So my question with this idea of the words in our mouth have significant power, you're talking about these barnacles, how do we as Christians either remove the barnacles or set ourselves up to where we don't even have barnacles growing on our ships? What can we do to prepare ourselves to not be enticed by gossip?
Well, resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Yeah.
You know, it is the influence of the evil one that would cause us to tear one another down. It is the influence of Satan himself that would have us losing sight of the power of the gospel to change hearts and minds and win people from hell to heaven. And instead get us to think about, well, I didn't like this thing they did, or I don't like the way they are in the world, or I don't like the way they said this or did this or whatever. And so I'm going to get my comeuppance. I'm going to get a little bit of catharsis by speaking badly about that person. Or, you know, and what gossip usually is come on in here, hear what I have to say about this person or this situation, and then affirm me. Affirm my feelings.
Man, you are talking about what happens on YouTube. And I've actually seen this recently a lot more within the last 1 or 2 years of Christians. And I get calling out false teachers. I believe there's a place for that. But YouTube is littered with these videos of professing Christians just talking about other churches or other Christians.
Right.
And I find myself watching those and glued to it. I'm like, oh, I can't believe he did that. Like they make documentaries on these things, and I find myself interested in those and then talking about them later with other people. And
now that so much stuff is online, I mean, I'm surprised there's not some with us up there, but you know, now that so much is online, you know, people can nitpick this stuff and they can take one thing you say, take it either out of context or take it out of the context of who that church knows that pastor or pastors are.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, yes, they, I mean, now sometimes there are things that go beyond the pale, right?
For sure.
And they need to be called out. I'm not necessarily sure they need to be called out on YouTube because I don't really know where that's going to go.
There's a process for it that Scripture gives us.
Scripture makes it clear how it should
be. Never does it say to post it on YouTube after that.
And what I would say is, you know, it's, I get that in the internet and the information age, some things do need to be dealt with that way when there is true, significant false teaching going on, because if a group of people have had their eyes clouded and they can no longer see through the lies, then yes, you don't want to have other people be brought into that. But we're talking about extreme situations there, right?
Yeah.
You know, not that this one, you know, preacher made a joke about a thing or said one thing that was not like the way I thought they should say it. There was a guy, I don't know, it was last year or whatever, where he said something on a podcast about women, and I don't even remember all the details of it. And it was not something he should have said, and I wouldn't have said it.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, this guy has a track record that's pretty solid. You know, he's done the right kinds of things. He got out of pocket just a little bit in this one area on a story that he told. probably shouldn't have told it, you know, probably shouldn't have been a thing that was out there on the internet for everybody, probably needed to be understood in the context of other teaching he'd done and the way that people understood his heart and how he approached the Word of God and how he was trying to reach people with a particular message and how he was trying to be really transparent.
Yeah.
But when you divorce it from that context, yeah, you can make a lot of people look really bad. And look, people can do whatever they're going to do with that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm much more concerned. I'm less concerned with protecting the individual pastor or teacher because we'll be okay. We can stomach it. Yeah. We can take the shots. I'm more concerned with the people that have been turned off by the church because Christians have not lived out their faith well.
Yeah.
That's my number one concern.
Yeah.
So,
point number three, a Christian cannot abide an unworthy speech from their lips. And this is what we were referencing earlier with, it says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, this goes to the point of you talking about that we shouldn't have gossip coming out of our mouth and using that same mouth to proclaim truth in the gospel. But oftentimes we do. And so I think realizing that kind of helps us and leads us to repentance and to really producing and asking God to produce that fresh water within us.
Yeah.
Because it is, I mean, it's a hard thing to combat.
Obviously,
James is talking about it and how it can destroy things. It's powerful. And so something that is powerful, obviously Satan's going to use it and try to use you to declaim or defame somebody. And I think what here is our point should be that it should be rooted in that fresh water, that we should be reminding ourselves of the gospel daily. We should be cleaning the barnacles from our life and being really aware of the opportunities in which it's easy for us to gossip and to hurt people.
Well, we come to church and, you know, like I say, we get dressed up and we talk nicely to each other and whatever, and then we go out to lunch and we gossip about one another or people in our community or whatever. And yeah, this should not be, as James said. So we have to be better than that. We have to help hold ourselves to a higher standard. And some of the practical ways I talked about doing that on Sunday were either walk away in a situation like that if you're bold enough. Because look, you know, a lot of preachers will give you things that, quite frankly, you're not going to do. And I already know it. So I try to give people really practical ways that things that I think are very manageable that I do believe we're all capable of.
Yeah.
One way is when gossip starts around you is you just get yourself away from that situation. And it doesn't mean you have to hear the first word of gossip and then turn running away with like your hair's on fire. But you just politely excuse yourself as if you have some other place you need to be, because the truth of the matter is you do.
Yeah.
You need to be away from where that's happening. The bolder person can say, hey, you know, guys, we shouldn't be doing this. You know, let's not talk about so-and-so. Let's be nice, right? Third way is something that's kind of a little more in between, where you redirect the conversation of, well, you know, every interaction that I've had with Joe Blow or Jane Doe has been really good. They did so-and-so for me, or I saw what they did in our community that made a difference, or, you know, their kids are just so nice. I'm really surprised to hear you had such a negative experience with them or whatever, right? But you're redirecting from a negative to a positive, and it sets an expectation amongst your peer group, whoever that is, of, oh yeah, I probably should be careful about how I talk about this person, at the very least in the presence of this Christian.
Yeah, because with gossip, the reason people do it so much probably is because it gets traction.
Yep.
It's a conversation flowing.
Oh, man.
And so if you cease that, if it's only then one person trying to have a conversation with themselves, then
it becomes, if you know you've got a captive audience when you're going in on somebody, that's just like throwing more logs on the fire. It's just, oh, yeah, man, let's stoke this thing up. Oh, yeah, well, they did that. Let me tell you what I saw them do. Let me tell you what I heard about. Yeah, man, that's awful, you know. It's crazy that it should not be, James says.
And if the church, like you were saying, generationally ceases this sin, what a safe place to be in. where you could come as you are, be open and honest, and not have to worry about somebody sharing your struggle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like we have groups here that, where you can do that, and it's freeing to know that when I go to Soul Care or when I confide in somebody in my Connect group, I know that that thing is going to stay between us, that that person is going to lead me towards Christ, towards repentance if I need that, and I don't have to worry, are they going to tell somebody?
Sure.
There's a freedom in that, and I think it's we're meant to feel that.
Yeah, agreed. It's what we need. And, you know, I think, again, thinking about the generational change, that's we want to create a healthier church for this generation that they're not experiencing as much of that. I'd like to say none of it, but I don't think that's realistic, but that they're not experiencing as much of that. Yeah. And so we have healthier relationships, we have healthier churches, we have healthier Christians, and we have healthier generational stories that people are sharing in social spaces because they're saying, well, you know, that didn't happen in the churches I was involved in.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I see it, I don't even know if funny is the right word, it's interesting, that I see a lot of people talking about their terrible experiences in churches. And I've been a part of three churches significantly in my life. Mm-hmm. And all of those churches have had problems, but all of those churches have been healthy churches in most ways. Yeah. You know, they've had problem people, and there's been problem situations, and there's been interpersonal conflicts that people had to work out. But, I mean, what in the world else would you expect to happen?
Yeah.
And so maybe I was a part of three very exceptionally healthy churches. I think I was just part of three normal churches. Mm. Now, again, are there really unhealthy churches? Of course there are.
Yeah.
Just like there's, and I talked about this, there's really terrible restaurants.
Yeah.
But I don't stop eating at restaurants because I had a really terrible experience.
Yeah.
You know, you find a better restaurant. I mean, I don't, you know, anybody on the podcast, you may or may not know this, but there's a lot of churches around, you know? You can find one that's a better fit for you and your family, that's a better experience for you in your spiritual journey. Like, I promise you, you can. Sure, you might have to look at more than one. You might have to look at four or five, but they're there, you know? I know that because I've seen it. So I wish that people would land more in that place. And this series is an effort at moving more people in that direction. Yeah. So we'll see.
All right, man. Well,
yeah.
What you got going on? We'd like to end the podcast with something that we're
going on?
Looking forward to.
Just, yeah, I mean, honestly, right now I'm already getting in my head my trip with our church family to the Holy Land.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it on the way in this morning that we're only about a month and a half away from that trip, and I can't wait to take that group there to share an experience I've already gotten to have, but...
Yeah.
As long as my wife's passport comes in, she's going with me. Getting a passport right now is very difficult. It's taking forever, so we'll see. But going to be a great group from our church and a few friends that are kind of interspersed across the country that are coming in. And yeah, so that's the thing that's right up there. Between that and football, I think it's really funny that we both have sports logos on our shirts today.
I didn't even realize that.
Between that and football being back, I'm a very happy camper. So how about you, man?
Well, in about a month, we're going to have a new baby girl.
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal.
We're kind of anticipating.
Way to throw that Trump card down there.
I'm not trying to one-up you or anything, but I was just thinking in that same time frame of just preparing for that. You know, it's been a little stressful, but seeing once we get to that space and hold her, everything, you forget about everything else. So I'm anticipating that. And holding on to that,
it's gonna be great.
During the midst of that
you
crazy
preparation, you'll be fully overwhelmed by estrogen.
So much fun! I already am.
Yes,
so just
really
add another
are.
One to the ticket. We'll be good.
It's exciting, man. We're pumped for y'all.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate you guys listening to the podcast today, and we'll see you next week.
See you then.